I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. I got a request the other day from a new treasure hunter in California asking me if I would pass along any leads I had on buried treasure or lost mines in his area. And that got me to thinking. Buried treasure and lost mines. That's probably what people outside our hobby think about when metal detecting is mentioned. My first exposure to the metal detecting arena was in the late 1960s. I was in junior high school, middle school to you youngsters, and my cousin read magazines about true Western stories. He shared them with me, and I didn't have much interest in the cowboy stories, but I was fascinated by the ads those magazines carried for metal detectors. And guess what pictures those ads used to tempt newbies to buy their machines? Yep, mostly they used pictures of prospectors striking it rich and pirates burying treasure chests full of gold. Or they showed beaming treasure hunters proudly displaying old jars they had just dug up, filled with silver coins and gold jewelry. The message was obvious. Buy our machine and you'll soon be rich beyond your wildest dreams. And I think a lot of newcomers to our hobby have that attitude nowadays, too. The ads promise so much without bothering to explain that work is involved, that research is necessary, that permission is required, that nobody is really finding lost mines or buried treasure chests. That may be one reason we lose so many newbies who think their new detector is their key to a fast fortune. They quickly find that in real life, the dream of treasure is quickly replaced by the reality of hot, dry digging, mosquitoes and other bugs, pull tabs, can slaw, and corroded Lincoln pennies. You can't blame the metal detector manufacturers and dealers for using treasure and gold mines to promote their products. They'd all be out of business if they showed the mosquitoes and the pull tabs. And everybody knows that advertising is seldom completely truthful. I've been stung myself many a time. For a few years, I was really into fishing because of ads that showed other fishermen pulling in monster bass. I can't count the paperboy profits I threw away on new fishing lures that I snagged and lost at the bottom of Eagle Creek. And the magic tricks I bought as a kid never worked as well or impressed the girls so much as the ads said they would. Even the breakfast cereal that would make me a muscle man, or the bread that built strong bodies first 8 and then 12 ways, none of that stuff worked as promised. And even though we realize all that at an early age, we still keep getting sucked in by a good ad. And many treasure hunting newbies begin our hobby because they're gullible enough to take those ads at face value. I think the pattern goes like this. People buy a metal detector because they're going to get rich. When they find out that's not going to happen, they go one of two ways. Either they quit the hobby and sell their detector on eBay or Craigslist, or they dig in, learn to do research, learn to ask permission, and learn to get the maximum depth from their machine. I'm not going anywhere in particular with this story, just pointing out that if you've been in the hobby long enough to know that the reality isn't quite so rosy as the expectations you had when you started, well, then pat yourself on the back and let me congratulate you for sticking with it after the initial glow wore off, after you fought the heat and the hard ground and the trash and the no trespassing problems, and you're still here. More power to you. And newbies, take heed. It's not as simple as the ads promise, but if you pay your dues and make yourself a more perfect treasure hunter, the rewards will come. And the treasures you find are just a small part of those rewards. Thanks for listening, and if you're new to the hobby and don't have my book yet, shame on you. I guess I can say that. It's my show. Check it out at treasuremanual.com. In the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.